All right. Welcome back to the second half of Living the Good Life. We're in our 13th year, 13 and a half years we've been on the air right here. And it's just a joy to be here every single week. I don't know about the two of you. I look forward to it. Our radio team has grown through the years. I've been a lot of different people that have joined us for periods of time. And it's just a joy to be able to get the word out. Angel, do you have a comment on that? Is it something you enjoy doing? I know PJ said that you could take the day off today and you didn't want to.
I do. I love doing radio. It energizes me. It strengthens me. I think I take away more than I don't know
oh,
that I'm
me
bringing.
Too.
I just,
me too. Yeah.
It speaks to me.
It does. Pastor Jim?
Oh, ditto.
Okay.
Yeah, it is funny because, you know, poor pastor has been so busy she forgot who she told to be on the show.
I know. I have. I really have.
Because, and it, I mean, but I love being here.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's already 4 o'clock, really? Seriously?
Yeah, right.
We've already had station ID.
Right.
I can't believe it. But it is. It's just this back
it's
and forth, and it's edifying. It's upbuilding.
It really is. It really is. I've been traveling for the last few weeks, on and off, to Texas with my youngest son and his wife. They're expecting their second little baby boy in just a few weeks, 2 or 3. Very excited about that. Another little McAllister joins the tribe, and it is a tribe. And I mentioned this morning.
Tribe, it's a small city.
It's a small city. It's a village. Because with the 13th grandbaby coming, last Sunday I was in the church with my oldest son Ryan and his wife Mary and several of their children. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 of their children last Sunday morning, 4 of their 6. And we lined the whole front row in that service. It was pretty cool. And I just looked down there. I don't know if I can talk about this without crying. As I looked down that row and saw what years of faithful teaching the word, growing my kids up, like you have, Angel, like you have, Jim, your daughter, growing them up in the word, and they still want to be in church, and now their children are right there beside them in church. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. It was like, wow. I stood there, looked down the row, and just start crying, you know. There's the baby. Right beside us, year old, and he's learning. He behaves in church. That's what you do. You behave. This Christmas time is always special time. And part of that is because we see family and all of that. But it's also because we remember the amazing gift of Jesus. And where would we be if we didn't have salvation? We would be walking around this planet with no hope, Jim.
Absolutely. I mean,
talk about that while I quit crying.
Okay. See, now it's your turn to cry. Usually it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about, and a couple of people have actually written books on what it would be like if Jesus never came.
Oh, my gosh.
First of all, we would have no hope of salvation because as Gentiles, that wasn't for us.
Right.
And if we wanted to have any hope of salvation, we'd have to convert to Judaism. And no, that ain't going to happen.
Right, yeah.
Thank the Lord Jesus made it possible for me to get saved without having to go through certain operation. So she's looking at me with a blank stare.
No,
oh, okay.
Not.
All right. But yeah, I mean, we'd be hopeless. I mean,
yeah.
Paul says before in Ephesians, before you knew him, you were without hope.
Yeah.
You know, you had no hope in this world. You were strangers from the covenants.
Right.
I'm so thankful that Jesus was obedient because I suppose he could have said no. You know, he could have told the Father, no. Well, in the garden, you know, he could have said, I'm not going to go through with this. You know, when he was praying, I don't want to do this. When it comes right down to it, Father, I just don't think I can. And yet he didn't say that. He did do it. Because he submitted to God. He said, not my will, but yours be done.
I woke up this morning with this scripture on my heart. So it fits here perfectly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Mm-hmm. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, and that's the important point right here. When the time came, the perfect moment for Jesus to be born, he was. When the time came, he set aside. Everybody see where I am? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father. That's Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Love that passage. Talk to us about it, Angel.
Well, that just shows the amazing nature of Jesus, you know, and I think I love that his humility, I love that he gave up his privileges, because, you know, it just shows the heart. It really gets to the heart. You know, in living in our culture and in this day and age, I think so many people put, you know, greatness with these privileges. But Jesus had greatness without them. He was humble. And, you know, that's always been one of my biggest prayers is, you know, to help keep me humble. Don't let me think I'm better than I need to think, or don't let me think I'm better than anybody else, because it's easy to do that. We live in a culture that's always comparing yourself with everybody else. And, you know, but Jesus was that example of that humility and the love, and it just...
And being willing to be born in a stable with a bunch of animals.
I mean, yeah, I mean...
But he created the animals, so they probably all were going, oh, there's Jesus! Cool!
I know? Think that was... You're right. It just the humility and the obedience and the fact that he was willing to suffer, feel the pain, feel the emotional pain. Like, he went through everything we go through.
Absolutely. Woo! Yet without sin.
Yeah.
Jim.
Amen. and this is a really good passage because it shows Jesus being fully God and yet fully human. There wasn't a bit of our humanity that he didn't partake upon himself. I kind of mentioned that this morning. He took our body, our flesh. He took our mind, our will, and our emotions. He took our spirit. All of that, somehow, and I don't know how, there's no way to know, but somehow in Jesus, both fully human and fully divine. And it says, you know, he could have held on to those divine privileges, but he didn't.
He didn't.
It said, you know, took the form of a slave. Suffered death in our place. There's that old song, "What Wondrous Love Is This?"
Yeah.
You know? And this is amazing.
It is, totally.
That he did this. Even, I can't imagine, you just can't wrap your head around
the
infinite becoming finite.
No, you can't. So this is a song on my heart about this. Away in a Manger, Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The
Rendition of that song. A little faster, but cool. The words are right there. Welcome back to Living the Good Life. We're going to the Book of Luke. We're not done with the song, I guess. Right, there is 10 seconds. All right, now we're done. Luke chapter 2. We're going to verse 21. The eighth day, Jesus was 8 days old. And there was a certain day, a certain important thing to happen on the eighth day, Pastor Jim. Want to talk about that, since you were alluding to it earlier?
Yes, under the law, on the eighth day, the male children were circumcised and became, that was the entry, the sign of the covenant God made with Abraham.
Right. And so it came that day. And the child was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. Did you want to comment any more on that?
No, I mean, they were obedient. They could have named him John.
Right.
They could have named him Joseph after his father. But the angel said, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall deliver his people from their sins. And they were obedient.
Verse 22 of Luke chapter 2, when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took him up to Jerusalem to offer him to God. As commanded in God's law, every male who opens the womb shall be a holy offering to God, because he was the first child of Mary. And so also to sacrifice a pair of doves or two young pigeons prescribed in God's law. You want to talk about that offering, PJ?
Well, it's interesting because under the law, women were unclean after they gave birth to a child. If it had been a girl, it would have been twice as long. Instead of 40 days, it would have been 80. But there was in Leviticus, there's a prescribed sacrifice to be made for the woman's purification. And this is not, they didn't offer the usual. They offered poor people. They offered what poor people would offer.
Which is interesting, isn't it? Because they were probably not people of means.
Of means, no. Apparently not, because they offered
the poor
pair
man's
of doves or two,
offering.
Either doves or pigeons. And the actual offering would have been a lamb. I don't remember exactly which animal, but probably a lamb or a goat. All they had money for was a couple of doves.
And two of them.
Which makes me think the wise men had not shown up yet.
Very good, because they would have had that.
Because they would have had
cash,
the money to,
unless it was invested in an offshore account. Or something.
Unless it was in Kuran's.
Right. Okay, so a pair of doves. The number two is so significant here because the number two in the Word of God is always God and us working together. Okay? So in Jerusalem, there was a man named Simeon. Now, you got to understand in the scripture that there are no coincidences with God. God has perfect timing. We have our own kind of haphazard timing in our lives a lot of times, but God has perfect timing. And he can bring about things exactly at the right kairos moment. That's God's opportune moment. And it was not a coincidence that Simeon, his name meant hearing, mm-hmm. by the way. He was a good man. He lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. The Holy Spirit was on him. I talked about the Holy Spirit today in my sermon, being on Mary, on Elizabeth, on Zechariah. Now we can't come to the fourth person that we've talked about today at Beacon of Hope. And that is Simeon. And it says the Holy Spirit was on him. His name meant hearing. He was hearing God, right? And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit had shown him. You see, God in us shows us things. Angel, do you want to talk about that?
Wow, absolutely. That's a pretty big concept. But, you know, when we have the living God in us and we're seeking him and we're obedient to him, he does. He shows us. He, you know, he tugs at our heart. Just like we talked about at the top of the show with the building that we now have, you know, that started as, you know, God just showing us that in giving us this vision in our heart and then us praying about it and seeking him and following him. So yeah, when we have God in us, he shows us things. But we have to have eyes willing to see and ears willing to hear.
We do. And Simeon's name meant hearing, right?
Yes.
So he obviously was hearing God. It says right here he was listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit that day, that moment in time, not a coincidence, he entered the temple. That's his kairos moment, the God's opportune moment. As the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. So here's Simeon at that exact moment, hearing the voice of God on the inside of him, knew, oh, there's the child. There is the child. He goes over and he takes him from his mother. And he begins to prophesy over him. God, you can now release your servant. Because God had said, you're going to live till you do this. And so when this happens, go ahead, angel, with that. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. Go on. Talk about that.
Well, I just had what an amazing experience to have that God gave him this promise, that he held on to this promise, that he, you know, he believed and had faith in this promise. And when it was fulfilled, that was his world came full circle, and he was ready now to go meet God.
So we can say that when God promises us things, guys, he's faithful to his promises.
Yes, he is.
Right?
Yes, he is. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, and I don't know the address for it, but, you know, he who began a good work in me will see it through to the completion.
Romans 8:28.
Nope. Philippians 1:6.
Oh, Philippians 1:6. You're right. Yes.
You know, and that's been
one of
like
my special verses.
Yes, that is Philippians 1:6. You're right. Yes.
You know, that's it. You know, God began that work in him,
Amen.
Showed it to him, and completed it in him. And he does the same for us, too.
Why?
Because he's faithful.
Why does he want to fulfill his promises? Why didn't he just say, I promised that, but I'm not going to do it?
Well, because God, first of all, he's faithful, and God is truth. Truth fulfills.
Okay. Jim, talk to us about all that.
Yeah. Simeon got a rhema word. That's what that, some translations call it, say promise. It's that literally rhema. He got a rhema word. And now, according to your rhema word, which is very familiar because that's exactly what happened to Mary.
That means the word that God speaks, that's
that individual word that God speaks directly to us.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you have a scripture just jump off the page.
Right.
And it becomes yours. It becomes a promise for you. Well, that's what happened here with Simeon. Now, according to your word, Sovereign Lord, I can go in peace because you told me you'd do this.
Right.
And you've done it.
God fulfills his word. So it's now out in the open. Go ahead.
And I love this too. I thought about this too. I'm just
go ahead.
Crazy with this. I've been reading this all like for a week. That you, for my eyes have seen the your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light of revelation for the Gentiles. And who were the Magi?
Non-Jewish nations.
Who were the Magi? Yeah.
They were Gentiles. Gentiles.
And glory for your people Israel. I got to think
and
about
most
that.
Of us listening to the show right now are probably Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. But I got to thinking about that. Oh, yeah. The star. You know, it all fit that the Magi hadn't come by this time. And it just fits. It just fits so well. He was a light of revelation for the Gentiles. And when the Magi did come, the wise men, they were Gentiles, and yet they knew.
They knew.
They knew.
Verse 33, Jesus' father and mother were speechless. Why? Why were they speechless, Angel? What was going on? What was so surprising here? Don't you think, I mean, this was astounding to them that Simeon comes and grabs the baby
absolutely.
And goes, wow, this is who I've been waiting on.
Absolutely. I think everything that they had been experiencing
right, was crazy,
was
wild,
just
right?
Wow and odd. I think they were speechless because, wow, like they were watching the wonder working of God unfold moment by moment, literally by moment. You know, and they... You know, they had to be familiar with all these prophecies and things that God was doing, being the good Jewish people that they were. I mean, these, like we talked about, these were stories that they shared and talked about frequently.
Right.
And so just to be those vessels, I can only imagine the awe they must have felt.
Oh, well, they were speechless, it says. I mean, they were like, whoa, look at this surprise. They were just coming up there to circumcise the baby.
Yes.
They didn't have any idea, I don't think, this was going to happen. Jim?
Well, I was going to say, this happened 32 days after the circumcision.
Okay.
The purification, when they went to the temple. Because they could
after
have,
that.
Yeah, they could have been circumcised in a synagogue.
Okay.
But I got, just following up on what you were saying, not only did they know, but remember that one phrase that keeps popping up in the first two chapters of Luke, and Mary treasured all these things. All these rhema words, that's literally what it says, and ponder them. She meditated on them. I made that point last week when I was preaching. It's she didn't forget them. I mean, all the things the shepherd says. When Jesus, the last time it's used is Jesus in the temple at age 12, she just pondered all these. She treasured them. She held on to them. And she meditated on all these rhema words that she got.
And so by the time that they went to the wedding, right?
The wedding in Cana.
Right. And they were out of wine, and she says to the servants, just go do what he says to do.
Do what he says to do.
So what through the years, we don't know how normal Jesus' upbringing was, but he had a lot of little brothers and sisters. He was the oldest. So he may very well have been helping to take care of his diaper, his baby sisters and brothers, and there were seven of them,
well,
I think.
Yeah, and I made the point last week when I taught, I also think this gave her strength to be at the crucifixion.
Aha, mm-hmm. Uh-huh, yes.
Because she had pondered all
these
things.
Yes, good point.
If she didn't, I think it would have been too overwhelming. I mean, it was still overwhelming, obviously. But I think she understood that this somehow was a part of God's plan.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I have to play this song. It's the Messiah. Because that's who we're talking about, the Messiah. Winona.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say the Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say the
Such a strange way. That's the title, Strange Way to Save the World by 4Him. I gave you the wrong title a minute ago. But is that true? It is a strange way to save the world, well, don't you think?
And that was part of the issue when Jesus came the first time. People were all happy about the kingly prophecies, shall we say. I mean, for lack of a better word. He's going to come. He's going to destroy our oppressors and all. They were looking for everybody was kind of hyped up about the military leader. And yeah, that's going to happen, but that's what he's going to do the second time when he comes back. They ignored or forgot about Isaiah 53, some of the other scriptures, but especially Isaiah 53. You know, the suffering servant.
Right.
And so Jesus came in an unexpected way. He lived an unexpected life, and he certainly died in an unexpected way.
Sure did.
The Messiah can't be crucified. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.
Right.
And that's kind of, that's what they felt. I mean, and yet, of course, Paul turns that around. Yeah, cursed. He took the curse from you.
Exactly.
He took it
Praise
to the tree
God.
For you.
Amen.
And
that's what he did.
Yeah, amen. And it was unexpected. And what even more unexpected, I would suggest, was resurrection morning.
Well, of course, yes. Well, let's look at Luke 2:33. Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise when Simeon did this and said these words. He went on to bless them, and then he said to Mary, "This child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel, a figure misunderstood and contradicted. The pain of a sword thrust through you, meaning Mary, but the rejection will force honesty as God reveals who they really are. Isn't that what you're talking about?
Well, and that's what Jesus did.
That's what he did.
This translation for verse 35 says, indeed, as a result of him, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And
it's so true.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jesus didn't, he didn't pander to anyone.
Right.
He knew what was in their hearts, and he brought it to the forefront. Mm-hmm. If somebody was being a hypocrite, he didn't mince words about it.
Sure.
He said, look, stop it. Get over it. But if he knew their heart was right, like the woman who came in and when he was seated with the Pharisees, the prostitute, he knew her heart was right. He knew she needed forgiveness.
Right.
The adulterous woman in John chapter 8, he knew what's in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked about this again. Jesus is the Word. And we talked about this on our Wednesday night Bible study, Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active, discerning between the spirit and the soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it cuts.
Yeah, it does.
Jesus exposes the darkness so that he can bring his light.
Oh, amen. Amen.
You know, and but John chapter 3 says, you know, men wanted to hide. They wanted to stay in the darkness.
Right.
For fear that their deeds would be exposed. And yet when those deeds were exposed, Jesus didn't condemn them.
It's almost like the devil tries to tell people, oh, God's never going to forgive you for this, or God's really mad at you. Look out. Angel, do you want to comment on all this? I mean, this is good stuff here.
It is really good stuff, and I sure do. So in the Amplified verse 35.
Just give me a chance. Give me a chance. I want to. I sure do. I love that.
So the Amplified version said, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the secret thoughts and purposes of many hearts may be brought out and disclosed. And, you know, before Jesus came, like, the law was all about behavior, all about the outward behavior. So as long as your outward behavior did what you were supposed to do, you were fine, right? You were living the godly life. And this is the thoughts and purposes now. So you can
be doing
the right thing, but if your thoughts aren't in there, your purposes aren't in the heart, I think that's how I look at it.
It's your heart.
Looking at the heart of what's inside of you.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and it changes. Like, it's a whole change of standard, I think, for people, because now it's more intimate. It's more personal.
It's
not just, are you doing these, you know, things in the right order anymore? It's what's really going on in you.
So true. Go ahead.
I was going to say the whole last part of Matthew chapter 5. You've heard that it was said this, but what I tell you is this. Every one of them, anger and murder. You've heard it said, do not murder, but whoever hates has already committed murder.
Mm-hmm.
Down further, you've heard not to commit adultery.
Yeah.
But if you think about a woman in that way, you've already committed adultery.
Right.
And on with divorce and oath-taking and retaliation.
Yes.
And loving your enemies.
Right.
All of that. Cuts again
to
the inside, not just the outside. Jesus reprimanded the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, called them whitewashed walls and tombs.
Yeah,
the men look all pretty on the outside, but there's nothing but decay on the inside.
Exactly. Again, getting back to this prophecy that Simeon says to Mary, like, okay, this is this whole thing, this baby, it's so much deeper. This child is going to reveal our thoughts and our plans and our attitudes. Go ahead, Angel, with that.
I love the intimacy behind that. And I just love how God works. It's just amazing to watch this being fulfilled, hear about it, to see the prophecies, and then seeing how God chose to fulfill this.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk about Anna real quick before we wrap up. Verse 36, of Luke chapter 2. Yes, it's getting late here.
Unbelievable.
Anna the prophetess was also there, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman. She had been married 7 years and a widow for 84.
Wow.
And so I figured this out. She had to be about 106, 107. If she was married that long, she probably didn't get married. She probably got married when she was 14, 15.
So we're 21 and 84 is 105, yeah.
Right?
Because you figure she was 14 and 7 that he was alive, puts up 21.
21. Then you add then 84 years a widow.
Yeah.
She just lived in the temple. I mean, totally immersed in the things of God. And look how God rewards that. He allows a 107 or 106-year-old woman to live long enough, and Simeon to live long enough to be a part of this story, to reveal who the Messiah is. They were able to pray over him, speak prophetic word over him. She never left the temple, worshiping night and day with her fastings and prayers. Now, I love this next four words. At the very time, God's perfect time. At the perfect time, at the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up. Broke into an anthem of praise to God. I can just hear her singing. I can't wait to meet her in heaven. Anna's always been one of my heroes. And talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. Talk about that, Angel. Woo, Anna. Yeah, Anna. Go, well, Anna.
Yes, I do love her, too. And you know, I love that they were waiting expectantly. Like, that just catches me. Like, you know, it's so often we just wait. You know, we're waiting for things to get better. We're waiting for that job, or we're waiting for whatever we're waiting for. But we're kind of just waiting in misery a little bit. You know, we're not waiting expectantly. Like, when you're waiting expectantly, you're watching and you're looking for and you're thinking hopeful and positive things, and you're, you know, waiting expectantly. It's just, we need to do that.
Well, and that's the original meaning of the Greek and Hebrew words. Especially the Hebrew word for hope means to have expectancy. And I agree, it's we need to keep that in mind, because I hope it's going to happen.
Right.
No, that's not expectant. Boy, I'm hoping. I'm on tiptoes. I think one of the Amplified versions, somebody, maybe it's a message, I'm on tiptoes about it. You know, I'm really that excited about it. And
shouldn't we be that excited about our daily walk with God?
Oh,
and
amen.
Then when he promises us, I mean, I've got books and books, little notebooks of stuff God said to me. You too do also. And shouldn't we, and as we start a new year, be going, okay, God, I'm on board with what you said to me. I believe that you're going to fulfill your promises to me. As we were a year ago right now, when we were believing for a building and had no idea how that could ever happen. We didn't have any money at all. And God came through and blessed our socks off, right?
Yes, he did. You know, and it's funny when I think back on it too, because we had really, really specific requirements of what we needed, down to geographical streets we needed to be between, mm-hmm. and a very limited budget. And God just, you know what? It's not too big for him. He took care of it.
And he took care of keeping Anna alive and Simeon alive until that moment in time that was the Kairos, God's opportune yes. moment. When the baby walked through the doors with his parents, right? He was in their arms.
And you were talking about Simeon's name meaning hearing. Guess what Anna's means?
What?
Grace.
Grace. Mm. Yeah. Wow. So at the very time Simeon was praying, Anna shows up, broke into an anthem of praise to God. She didn't walk in and go, what's going on around here? What's going on? Where y'all been? What's happening? What was her attitude? She knew. She immediately knew. In yes. your spirit, Anna knew. Simeon knew. Talk about that, Angel.
Well, you know, when you're waiting expectantly, when you're seeking God, when you're in relationship with God, you know. Your whole spirit confirms when he is bringing you or showing you or preparing you. You just know. And, you know, but that's about that continual, ongoing relationship with God.
So true. Go ahead, PJ. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, yeah. In this translation, it says at that moment, at that very hour, She came up to them and began to give thanks to God and to speak about the child all who would hear. She didn't just say it once. She began, and that implies continually. Then, I've given you thanks, God, for everything then. Now I got something new to thank you about, and I'm praising you about it, and I'm telling everybody about it.
Let's picture Anna and Simeon. But Anna right here, because she's 106 or 107, okay, and she has been waiting a long time. 84 years a widow. And she is waiting to see this Messiah baby. Woo!
That's awesome.
I mean, we get bent out of shape, Angel, when we wait 9 months to have a baby. You, three of them, and me, three of them, and now grandkids. And I mean, I'm anxious. I can't wait to see my new grandson, right?
Yeah.
We are anxious. But Anna waited 84 years, folks.
That's a long time. You know what? In our generation, we're this Burger King mentality.
We are.
I want it my way. I want it now. And just to think about waiting 84 years for something, for a promise, like, wow, just watching.
But how could, can you picture how she was that day? Like, oh my gosh, it's here, it's here, it's here, there he is, oh, there he is, oh, there's the Messiah. Wow, can't you just picture that?
Oh, she had to be leaping.
I have a picture of her that being very vigorous at that point and not being grandma about it and just, praise
cute
God,
baby.
The Messiah's born, no. That kind of thing. I think
she was crazy, over the moon.
I do too. Walking and the thing that came to mind, walking and
leaping and praising God. I thought of that too in Acts chapter 3.
God can empower people in their old age.
Woo!
And,
look at PJ, Angel, how he's been empowered.
How empowered I am in my old age.
In his old age, yes. But you are so right. And to have her memorialized, and Simeon too. But it's her faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. For the faithfulness, yes. And think about it. 84 years, and she was still expecting. She was still not giving up. She was hopeful. She was, I love that because we lose that, I think, so often here in our day and age and our culture. We can't wait any time for anything. Fulfillment. Yeah.
I just think about those words we sang at the end of the service today, Goodness of God by mm-hmm. Bethel Music. I just love that song. It's all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And, so often we get so discouraged with life. We get so down. And Christmas season is a time where a lot of people get depressed, especially if they're alone or they don't have anybody that cares about them or they're not in a relationship or they're not married or whatever the case may be. And we're here today to say that there is so much more than our earthly desires, our earthly wants. I want you both to speak to that.
Go ahead.
I love when you look at each other.
I know.
Well, that's so true. And I think in this time of year, like you said, people get disconnected from the true meaning. And that's what we've been talking about, the past 4 weeks. The true meaning of Christmas. And I'm an emotional guy. I can be a big old sentimental sap. Let me watch, It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street, and I just roll over and cry. But I know in my heart that's just because they're good movies. But that's not the true meaning. And I think people lose sight of that. And then if what they think Christmas is supposed to be, this time of the year, doesn't match up with their expectations of that, whose does? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Whose life does? Mine doesn't.
Right.
But I'm not bound by how the world or Hallmark says I need to celebrate Christmas.
That's exactly right.
I'm bound by how the Bible says Christmas came about.
Amen.
And you focus on that. And that does, that changes so much.
It does. So, dear ones out there, if you're having a rough day, rough season right now, it's time to look at what Jesus has done for you. God gave his son, and his son is a gift for you. Angel, do you want to comment on that before we do this last song?
Sure. You know, I think about how much my life has changed last year. You know, I went through chemo, and it really, God did a work in me that through all of last year. And, you know, all I kept thinking was, I don't know that I've really lived out my purpose that God had for me. And that, like, really made me feel sad through that process. And, you know, and then I really felt, you know, God calling me into this private practice and leaving this great salary job to, like, no income for a long time. But I have learned it's not about the material things that we have. I have lived off of scraps, but my bills are paid. You know, I don't have the extras, but you know what? My spirit has grown and my heart has grown. And I know every day that I walk into that office, I am living my God-given purpose. There's nothing better than that.
And it all started with a holy night. Thank you for sharing, both of you. That was really good.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh,
Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to point us to you, to show us your nature, Father, to provide salvation for all who choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you, dear little audience member, are not positive that if you died tonight, you would be in the presence of Jesus for all eternity, you can settle that issue right now. I'm going to have Angel repeat after me, and you can pray this prayer with her as we declare it, and you can claim your salvation. There's not a better day to do this than right before we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I declare that I believe.
I declare that I believe.
That God the Father sent his Son Jesus.
That God the Father sent his Son Jesus.
To this earth to live and to die for me.
To this earth to live and to die for me.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that I can ask him now to forgive me for anything and everything.
I believe that I can ask him to forgive me for anything and everything.
That I've ever said or done.
That I have ever said or done.
Was not pleasing to him.
That is not pleasing to him.
I invite you, God, to come into my life. Jesus, come and live in me.
I invite you, God, to live in my life. Jesus, come and live in me.
I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior.
I am your child and you are my Father.
I am your child and you are my Father.
From now throughout eternity.
For now and throughout eternity.
This I pray.
This I pray.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
We hope you did pray that prayer. Jim?
And if you did, please let us know. There are some things you'll probably want to do starting off this new life, because that's exactly what happened. You were reborn today if you prayed that prayer. I would just encourage you, get into a Bible-believing church. Start praying, and that does not mean you have to use the King's English. Prayer is a conversation. It's two-sided. Just talk to God.
Amen.
You can talk to God like we've been talking to each
Amen.
Other here.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Yes.
You know, he's not impressed with your words. He's impressed with your heart. So
Amen.
Just speak to him from your heart.
Praise God.
Find a Bible that you like, depending on who you are. I mean, just in here, we vary.
We do.
In the types of Bibles that we like. Find one that you like. Find one that you can understand. Because it'll do you no good to read the Bible unless you can understand it. So, and I would start with the Gospel of John.
I totally agree.
It's just easy. 21 chapters. This comes from my training from Campus Crusade. One chapter a day. That's not much. You get it done in 3 weeks, and it's just a good place to start.
It is. I love it. Book of John.
You know, like I said, find a church.
Yeah.
Where the word is preached. Pray, and let us know. I mean, we would love to pray for you.
We
mentioned the
would.
Prayer, the prayer team before. And we'd love to pray for you.
We'd
love to know who you are. We'd love to pray for you and ask God to strengthen you.
Amen.
In your new walk with him.
Get a hold of us at prayers@bohmglobal.com. You can actually reach Pastor Jim at pastorjim@bohmglobal.com and me at pastor@bohmglobal.com and Dr. Angel for her practice. If you'd like to set up an appointment, 727-501-6557. I want you both to have about 30 seconds to say whatever you'd like to say. I want to say this has been an amazing show. I have loved it. I feel like we have accomplished what needed to be done today.
And I often judge how, it's going to sound silly, but how anointed the show is by how quickly 5 o'clock comes.
It does.
And it's like, it's already here.
It's here.
So, I mean, I know subjectively in that respect, it was a great show. But yeah, I just want to reemphasize the point I made a few minutes ago. don't let the hype of the season take away from what really happened right. 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Or more, you know, more, way more now.
Yeah.
But don't let the hype of the season, and don't think you have to feel a particular way.
You're right.
You know, because that just puts condemnation on you.
Right.
This is a time to remember the true joy.
Yes.
Not the joy that the world gives, but the joy that comes from knowing God loves you and sent his son for you.
Amen. Well done. Thank you, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor, who I love with all my heart because we both went to the same college, Ball State University. But no, that's not
Go Cards.
That's only one reason. But go ahead, Dr. Angel.
Well, you know, I just really want to encourage our listeners to, slow it down. And Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen.
And reflect on the most amazing gift that he has given you. And to breathe and to just enjoy his presence, get in his presence and just enjoy his presence. This is supposed to be a time of peace. He is, you know, he's a prince of peace. And so many people are out there feeling chaos and stress and everything but peace.
Right.
Get in his presence and get in touch with the Prince of Peace.
Amen. As soon as we shut all this off in a couple minutes, you'll be able to listen to the show again right on YouTube/TanTalkRadio/Living the Good Life 12/22/19. So write that down. Go YouTube/TanTalkRadio/Living the Good Life 12/22/19. That's got a lot to say there. Thank you, Dr. Angel. Thank you, Pastor Jim.
Anytime.
All right. God bless both of you. And all of you out there that are in the Tampa Bay area and would like to visit our church, we would love to have you. Come to Clearwater Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., 2058 Weaver Park Drive. 2058 Weaver Park Drive, Clearwater. We're getting ready to revamp our whole website starting in January. But for now, it does have the address on there. And our website is bohmglobal.com. So go there. And Pastor Jim and Angel and I are going to be revamping that whole thing here very shortly. So we look forward to seeing you in a service. 2058 Weaver Park Drive, Clearwater. Wednesday nights are 6:30. That will resume again the first Wednesday night of January, not January 1st, but it's January 8th. So we're taking 2 weeks off on Wednesday nights right now. We have a candlelight Christmas Eve service. You are welcome. It is this Tuesday night at 5 p.m. at our facility. Tuesday night, this Tuesday, candlelight Christmas Eve service, 5 p.m. Everyone welcome. God bless every one of you. We're glad that you've been with us today. God bless you. This has been Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, and Angel.
Receiving heaven's glory.
Amen.
The night.
We'll see you next week, right at this time. God bless you.
Listen to the angels rejoicing and so sweetly receiving heaven's glory. The night that Christ was born. Can't you see the people
coming from every nation?
Coming from every nation.
Pleading for their salvation.
Pleading for salvation.
The night that Christ.
The night that Christ was born.
Hallelujah.
TAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Ice and fog,